My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate. We will update the big healthcare cyber attack for ransom. I'm David Brancaccio. There are signs that UnitedHealthcare has paid perhaps $22 million to recover computer systems and data hijacked by a ransomware gang. The cyber attack has caused widespread disruptions at pharmacies, hospitals, and doctors' clinics in recent weeks. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
David, no confirmation on this claim. A lot of times companies won't say that they've paid ransom to cyber criminals, but Reuters is reporting on a post made on a hacker forum saying that UnitedHealth did pay $22 million through a Bitcoin transfer to an account associated with the Black Cat ransomware gang. Now, that's the group responsible for the cyber attack that's frozen part of UnitedHealth's operations in its Change Healthcare unit, which helps process insurance claims for payment.
Now, we've been tracking this attack. It's been going on for a couple weeks now. Remind us of some of the effects.
Right. They've been broad. The American Medical Association came out and said that it's really worried about a number of smaller doctors' clinics, especially in rural areas, which haven't been able to get paid for weeks because they can't submit insurance claims for reimbursement. A lot of these clinics don't have huge cash reserves, too. The AMA says it's in talks with the federal government to make emergency funds available to these clinics, and pharmacies have been impacted as well. United said it has some workarounds in place, but clearly the disruptions continue, David.
Nova, thank you. Now, powered by optimism regarding artificial intelligence-powered profits with no U.S. recession in sight, the NASDAQ Composite Stock Index is up 9% year so far and 38% in a year. Now, in Japan, the key stock index was flat this morning or today, but is up 20% year to date, 42% in a year. In Japan, the numbers also show a recession has formed. But is it a real recession? Economist David Kelly is chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds.
Well, technically, Japan may be in recession because of two negative quarters of GDP. But remember, the population in Japan is actually shrinking. And so you've got to think about recession in terms of GDP per person. And by that benchmark, Japan's actually doing okay. And what's more, stocks are cheaper, a lot cheaper in Japan than they are in the United States. And we are seeing some market reform. So I think this is one of the reasons why the Japanese stock market is actually doing pretty well here, finally, after a very long period in the doldrums.
Do you think China's woes are having some knock-on effect in bringing some money into the Japanese market?
I think so. I think the United States is now 65% of global stock market capitalization, and that is way too big. And I think a lot of investors are saying, okay, it's great I've made all this money in U.S. stocks, but how can I diversify? How can I send money around the world? Now, the first port of call a few years ago would have been, well, let's put money in China. But I think people are worried about the Chinese economy, the Chinese market right now, and so they're looking at Japan as an alternative way of diversifying out of the United States.
Always great to talk to David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
A satellite for detecting leaks of methane gas is in orbit now, launched with the help of a SpaceX rocket. Marketplace's Lily Jamali reports the project is backed by Google and the Environmental Defense Fund.
Methane is the main component of the fossil fuel natural gas. And scientists say molecule for molecule, it's a far more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. While methane leaks are rampant in the oil and gas industry, they can be hard to detect because it's both odorless and colorless. MethaneSat will map those emissions from space, says Andrew Baxter, Senior Director of Energy Transition at the Environmental Defense Fund.
Without precise data, it's really difficult to know where the methane comes from, and how you build a strategy for doing something about it.
He says reducing methane emissions is the fastest way to slow the rate of global warming. The data gathered by MethaneSat will be streamed live on the internet so the public can see it. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
Why don't we just stay in and veg out tonight? For all of you who just said, yeah, why not? Spare a thought for the profits of companies that depend on us going out. We have a report now from Britain, where a midweek night out to a club or a bar used to be a thing for college students, among others. But now UK's biggest operator of nightclubs says the weeknight business is fizzling. Here's the BBC's Will Chalk.
It's a Wednesday night in Oxford, home to one of 35 nightclubs owned by Northern Europe's largest nightlife company, Recom. It's around 10:30. It's cold, a little bit rainy and quiet. Grace Soden, Ben Wrighton and Ruby Belcher have been to dinner and then the pub, but there's no clubs on the cards.
How often are you guys going out midweek?
No, just weekends really. Well, it's just busiest then, I guess. Yeah.
17 of Recom UK's clubs across the UK are closing down, though Oxford's Attic will stay open. But almost 200 miles away in the north of England, Prism in Leeds hasn't been as lucky. It's shut down, despite the city having one of the biggest student populations in the country. These students say clubbing isn't top of their social plans.
During first year, I went quite a lot, but less so now. It's just too expensive.
Don't like the queuing outside, and sometimes the entry fee is a little bit extortionate.
Peter Marks, CEO of Recom UK, says that's hit them hard.
The early week in particular has been a problem. Obviously, people still like coming out. If money is tight, are coming out later. So they're arriving at our doors later and they're spending less.
As well as losing midweek customers, Recom says rising energy costs and minimum wage increases have hit its cash flow. Mike Kill from the Nighttime Industry Association says lots of businesses are struggling.
For the last 4 years, we've really set people up to stay at home, communicate with their families, entertain themselves. What's happened now is the inflationary pressures have actually said to them, you know, I can't afford to go out as often, but I can do everything I need to do at home.
Gen Z are also more health conscious. They drink, on average, 20% less than millennials, according to analysis by World Finance magazine. But Scandinavian-based Recom says its venues in Denmark, Norway and Finland won't be shutting.
Evening, sir. Can I see your ID? Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Just over the road from Attic in Oxford is a bar called Thirst. It specialises in flair bartending, where making the drinks is part of the entertainment for the guests. Think Tom Cruise in the movie Cocktail.
Refreshing, huh?
Oh, that's good.
I know.
Yaz Hunter is operations manager there. He says young people want more of an experience than just drinks.
There was a programme called Cheers way back when, where everybody knows your name. But really, with my bars, I really want to replicate that warm, welcome feel of Cheers.
Many other British clubs and bars are also trying to diversify to attract young people. But as Gen Z are drinking less and have less money to spend, the competition is fierce. In the UK, I'm the BBC's Will Chalk for Marketplace.
Cheers, Will. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.